Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. I'm a day behind this week, and of course, maybe that's good. I don't know. That would mean that I would have one more day to be able to do this week's work. But anyway, wherever you folks are, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and I'm just wondering, how are you two men today? Dave, I know you're getting ready for a big trip, are you not?
Gary, I am. I've got just about, three, four more days before we depart for a 12-day excursion in the land of Israel. So I'm greatly looking forward to it and got a lot of things going on in preparation for that trip.
Amen. And Sam, how are you today, sir? You're going to be leaving the country, too, one of these days.
Well, I am. The middle of next week, which will make you sometimes by yourself and other guests here. My and my wife are heading with a group of other ministry leaders out of the country, and we're going to be heading up for a little bit of pleasure and a little bit of business towards Alaska. So that's where we're going to head up.
So people get the life of Riley and other people have to work. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I didn't say that, you know.
Oh,
because
you didn't?
No. But I will tell you, it's the first time I've ever been on a ship like that for me. So that's going to be new. I like that.
Okay, Dave, you're going to say something?
Well, Gary, I was just going to say that my trip is really not a pleasure trip, though there will be very definitely enjoyable components to the trip. But this is a study tour, and we will be getting up every morning around 6, departing, and being gone all day long until probably 6 or 7 at night. And you can actually procure college credit if you needed it or wanted it through this trip to Israel. So it's not really a pleasure trip. It's a study trip. But obviously, visiting the land of Israel is going to be something that's going to be eye-opening and certainly enjoyable. But greatly, greatly looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to the Holy Land as well. I haven't been there in a long time, and I'd like to get back. And Sam, you know what they did to Marco Rubio about the kind of boat that he drives. I can imagine what people will do now about the kind of boat you're going to be on next week.
Well, they can say whatever. I don't own this boat. I wouldn't even come. I probably couldn't even afford buying one room on that boat. No, it's not the same as Marco Rubio. But you know what? It's one of those things. But Gary, so you're going to be traveling too next week. So let's put you in this mix.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on business.
Of course.
As you guys are, too. Yeah, I'll be in California for a couple of days. Now, folks, the program will go on. Don't worry about that. The program will go on. You just have to tune in and listen and see how. But we will be coming to you directly because we've got this commitment to bring this program to you on a regular basis. So don't turn your radio off the next 2 weeks. Turn it on and listen. We will be here with pertinent information. Today, when we go into the second break, into the second segment, we will be having with us Pennsylvania State Senator John Eichelberger. He is going to be talking on some pertinent information that has to do with the state of Pennsylvania. And so you will not want to miss those two segments. He will be with us on the second and the third segment. We're looking forward to that. But just something to start right off here on this segment to get us thinking. Sam and Dave, do you think that Bill Clinton would ever lie?
Well, Gary, it all depends on what you mean by lie.
Oh, boy.
Now, for all of those who remember, see, that's what when you talk about Bill Clinton, you have to define every term. And if he could take us and stretch this Congress, pass Congress out for months on balancing on the issue of what is means, I suppose it depends what it means by lie. But obviously, he has now weighed in on this issue with Hillary. And of course, she's been trying to twist facts around, and I thought it was interesting that he has said just a couple months ago he was not going to weigh in on this issue on her emails, but he is now kind of raising the issue that, you know, if it were for him, he wouldn't have done what she did. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's being reported today also that he has said that he's only ever sent two emails in his life. Even though his wife says that, you know, there are private messages on her personal server that's between her and Bill, he said, I've only ever sent two emails in my life. And he said that the two emails that he sent, he did to order Christmas presents. He goes on to say, otherwise, I found people said embarrassing things on emails, and I didn't want to be one of those people. So there you go, Dave. You know, Bill Clinton is contradicting his wife because his wife said that she and Bill have communicated on her server, but he has only sent two emails, and apparently it hasn't been to her, Dave. It's been to order Christmas presents.
Well, no. Again, you know, that was my concern. Who was he buying Christmas presents for? Maybe we ought to explore this a little deeper. But the fact of the matter is, Gary, the fact of the matter is this. Can you trust anything the Clintons say? I mean, honestly, you know, we laugh about it because you almost have to laugh or you would cry over the absolute tragedy and lack of integrity that exists in the lives of these two people. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. I have no doubt that the lies are myriad. They're going to continue to be rampant in this situation and among these two people. So, you know, I mean, it's absurd. So can we trust a woman who is willing to lie and lie incessantly, whether it be Benghazi, whether it be her emails, no matter what it is? This woman, I think, would lie when the truth would be better.
You know, they have, you know, you follow their pattern. It's one lie after another, one lie after another. They live lies. Sam, do you think that they expect the American people to believe those lies? Or do you think
we're
just foolish and stupid people out here?
Well, I do expect them to believe that. I mean, they do believe that. And they will go down fighting and arguing over this little thing. And I'll reference back to Bill. I mean, I don't mean this. It's kind of funny a little bit, I suppose. But, you know, Bill says, I did not send anything more than two emails, but Hillary's got all kinds of them. This is the kind of thing that Bill could come back and say, well, I didn't actually press that button on my computer. Perhaps Miss Lewinsky pressed it. I don't know.
Oh,
I hate to bring that up, but you know what? It's that kind of technicalities that the president would bifurcate these things and say, well, I didn't actually press that button. I didn't actually send it. I may have written 200 emails, but I don't know. I actually pressed it with my first finger. Maybe I pressed it with my thumb. That's the kind of silly stuff that you have to work out with these people. So you're right. I mean, it's amazing that they insist on doing it when, in fact, the facts point overwhelmingly to just the contrary. It's an unfortunate circumstance where we're seeing this, you know, played out like this.
Which reminds me that I continue to believe that if she is nominated and if she is elected, we are really a foolish people. I mean, I just have to say that. I can't even imagine that she's where she is right now. But nevertheless, she is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, Senator John Eichelberger will be with us, a good, solid conservative here in the state of Pennsylvania. And so you won't want to miss these next couple of segments. So don't go far away. Go fill your coffee cup up or your teacup or whatever. But stay tuned. We will be back with more right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I plan on giving the gospels out to people I meet. I'll put a few of them out in a truck stop, and they're handy to carry. I can give them to people I come in contact with every day.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I have never used these gospels before, but I plan to give them out wherever and whenever I can, at restaurants, when I meet new people, even with family members. Thank you for your service.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
The book of Nehemiah records an amazing story of how Nehemiah accomplished great things against all odds. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though we have great national concerns today, all Israel had even greater concerns. A collapsed nation, a destroyed temple, a sacked capital, walls torn down, city gates burned with fire, the people living as captives in foreign lands. Yet God was mightily at work. First the enemy, King Cyrus himself, said he was moved of the Lord to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and he sanctioned the work. Then God raised up necessary leaders, the elders, priests, Ezra, volunteers, and then Nehemiah. Nehemiah's task? To organize the physical work of laying new foundations, rebuilding broken walls, and all in the face of enormous opposition. But Nehemiah did the work because he could say with confidence, "The good hand of my God is upon me." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, saying, be encouraged. Can you say with Nehemiah that God's good hand is on you? Because that's the key.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl, but today we have with us Senator John Eichelberger, who, of course, is a Pennsylvania state senator. I almost called him a United States senator a bit ago, and, of course, maybe that's wishful thinking, because I've often thought that he either should be a representative or a senator or a vice president or a president, and just between you and me, ladies and gentlemen, I've been working on that for a long time, and I'm waiting for him to announce. And anyway, John, talking about you, brother, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks. I guess my first order of business is to explain where I'm going to go next week. You guys are all going on these exotic trips, and I'm going to Harrisburg to work on the budget on Monday. So,
oh man,
rub it in. That's kind of disappointing compared to these other destinations, but that's the best I can do right now.
Well, you know, you will be in the beautiful building. You will be able to admire the architecture that's there and the many Bible verses that are on the Senate wall, Senate chamber wall.
That's right.
So
that's true. It is just a magnificent building. And you know, for anybody that hasn't been there or been there since they were perhaps children, and a lot of people say, we took a trip when we were in school, but I haven't been here since. And I hear that a lot from folks. They should come down and visit their capital in Pennsylvania, or even people from out of state that want to come over. It truly is the most beautiful capital in America, and most places will acknowledge that whenever they give their capital tours, that Harrisburg is really the gold standard for state capitals, and more, actually more, much more ornate than the federal capitol building.
Oh yes, absolutely. And you know, I have actually heard people from other state capitals say that our capitol is much nicer than theirs. I mean, they admit it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, me too. I've heard tour directors say that.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people in other capitals behind the scenes, you know, and they'll say, "Oh, I've been to Harrisburg. It's just beautiful." And they go on about it. And I was at the Texas Capitol a couple years ago and talked to some people there from the Senate, and they had visited Pennsylvania, and they just went on and on about our Capitol. So it's really a beautiful place to be.
Yeah. You know, basically, John, Sam is going to lead our discussion with you today, but you mentioned the budget. Are we going to have a budget by the end of the month?
I doubt it. I really doubt it. It's possible. We may. I think we will have a budget by the end of the month. Let me rephrase that. I think the Republicans will probably put something together if we don't see much movement from the governor, and then send that to him. And I suspect he will not approve it, if not sign it, if it doesn't include all his tax increase agenda and some of the other things he wants.
Reminders of the good old Ed Rendell days. Sam, I'm going to defer to you, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you, Gary and Senator. It's good to have you on here right now. You know, talking about the look of the building goes with it that there's a great honor in being in elected office. We're glad that you're there, John. And, you know, maintaining that honor and integrity is really what good leadership is all about. But we find ourselves, you find yourself, in a great amount of controversy with this particular administration. One I'd like you to comment on is that the Senate turned down the governor's recommendation for leading the state patrol, Marcus Brown, turned it down. And according to what's happening, it appears that the governor may try to reintroduce that name. But I'd like you to comment on that. Why did the Senate turn down the nomination of Governor Wolf relative to Marcus Brown to lead the state police? Because there's a lot of stuff out there floating around on both sides. What was the real scoop on that, John?
Well, it was a multitude of reasons. There were five or six reasons that people did not like him. And for different members, it was a different reason. He had a very poor record on Second Amendment rights. He spoke out when he was in Maryland against gun, some of the Second Amendment privileges, rights and privileges that we have as Americans. And that did not sit well with me and a number of other people. The State Troopers Association came out with him, and people thought that his leadership ability, when his own troops did not want him, would make it impossible for him to be a good leader there. He got involved in a yard sign issue where it was a retired state trooper, put out some yard signs criticizing him close to his home. He stopped one evening, tore them out of the ground. They were in a public right-of-way, and the state trooper filmed him doing that and then supplied that to the media. He was charged with criminal charges for removing the signs. He ultimately was not found guilty, but it set a very messy example for him, as particularly a law enforcement officer, of all things, the head law enforcement officer for the state police. That was an issue. There was an issue about him wearing the uniform here when he didn't come through the force. He came from outside the state. Some people didn't like that. He had a very sketchy pension history. When he was in Baltimore, he received a partial pension when he left. According to the city, They had rules against that. I never was real clear on that, but it was a very questionable situation about the pension money that he took. There was also questions about his residency. I guess he maintained two residences, one in Maryland, one in Pennsylvania. We're not sure how that all worked out, and there were some questions about his taxes and things with that. He was involved in a multitude of problems, and it came down to a bottom line that they just people felt that he was not capable of being trustworthy in that position and managing it well.
John, I'm listening to that litany of items, you know, and that's what some of the discussion out there is about. I heard several of the governor's supporters on that saying, come on now, come on now. These issues, they are minor, they are little, they're not to be concerned about. So what if those things actually happened? It doesn't speak to his real ability to do his job. It reminds me of a lot of things of, you know, people saying, well, so what if somebody does something in the back and quiet? That doesn't make any difference as long as he can actually do his job. These are matters of integrity, John, are they not? What kind of discussion actually was happening in the Senate? I mean, some are saying this was purely political. It was purely vindictive on the part of the Senate Republicans. But what you described to me sounded to me like mostly ethics issues or matters of integrity. How important is that to you and the Senate when in the confirming the candidates or the recommendations?
Well, you know, this was a historic vote. I'm not aware. We've had some staff check on this, and I don't know how far back it goes. And Sam, you have a good historic knowledge of the legislature. As far back as anybody can remember, the Senate has never denied the confirmation of a cabinet level appointee as far back as people could remember that we spoke with in the Senate. I don't know how far back that goes. I mean, I think they check several decades, if not further. But it's a historic vote. We don't do that very lightly, and we really are supposed to have a constitutional reason that we think that somebody just is not trustworthy enough to maintain their credibility in that job, and that was the case. I mean, we approved 19 out of 20. We held our nose on a few. I also voted against Pedro Cortez for the Department of State cabinet secretary, and we had 18 no votes out of 50, out of 49 actually, 18 out of 49 no votes for him, and that was substantial. That sent a real message that we're going to be watching him. But he directly lied about at least four issues to myself and the Senate, either appropriations or the state government committee hearings that he underwent. So we had problems with him, and I felt that rose to the level of not voting for him. But other people we weren't crazy about, but we approved. But it wasn't a vindictive thing. It was our role as part of the process to review, to advise and consent under the Constitution, but to really review these people and for have them undergo some very tough questions through this process. And we take it very seriously. And it was the compilation of all these things for Marcus Brown. If it would have been the yard sign issue or the uniform issue or something else, I think we could have talked to him, and if he had a reasonable explanation, we might have let it go. But with five, six, seven different problems, it's a judgment issue on his part.
And, John, just before the break here, we're going to have to go into it. The governor is not really responding properly. He may take and reintroduce this name or is considering even letting him remain in that position as an acting commissioner, which obviously is a problem. So is he forcing the issue constitutionally here? Are we going to see more come up on this issue?
If he remains there, I think we'll end up in court because we have a role in the process. If he ignores that, that's a real problem for Pennsylvania.
Well, John, we want to come back after this break. Thanks for what you guys are doing up there and for making clear this issue. But I want to go to another issue locally. You've been speaking out very boldly on matters of infractions locally in the local school district. And I want you to be able to air that to the listeners today as far as why and what's really happening and set the record straight. So stay with us, and we're going to come back after this break, if you don't mind. Okay,
be
John.
Happy to. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr with Gary Dull and David Kistler. Our guest is Senator John Eichelberger, and he will be back with us right after this break on the other side of this.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Police in Philadelphia tell Fox there's nothing to a reported sighting of two prison escapees this morning. They may not have gotten that far. Near the prison in Dannemora, New York,
authorities are not commenting on a report that residents here found what looked like camping gear and belongings of the two fugitives. But sources close to the investigation do tell us that sniffer dogs have picked up the scent of the two men.
Fox's David Lee Miller, Richard Madden, David Sweat were discovered missing Saturday. The British actor Christopher Lee died. He was in more than 250 movies, including a couple of Star Wars prequels.
It is obvious that this contest cannot be decided by our knowledge of the Force, but by our skills with a lightsaber.
He was 93 years old, also played Dracula, a wizard in the Lord of the Rings movies, a Bond villain, Frankenstein's monster, and Sherlock Holmes.
Of the four wars in my lifetime, none came about because the U.S. was too strong. A quote from Ronald Reagan.
Chris Christie will be there. Scott Walker will be there. Rick Santorum will be there. You need to be there. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference at the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel, June 18th through the 20th. Meet the top Republican candidates for president right here in Philly. Sign up at 2015leadership.gop. That's 2015leadership.gop. The Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. You can't miss it. Paid for by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. I don't want to come on laughing, but, you know, I just have to. Not about you, Senator John Eichelberger, not about you, Sam Rohr. I'm enjoying this discussion. And Dave Kistler, you know, I was just thinking, you don't realize that we have Barack Obama Jr. here in Pennsylvania as our governor, do you? I mean, this is just... you know, he's either Ed Rendell Jr. or Barack Obama Jr. You don't have anything like that down in North Carolina, do you, Dave?
Gary, we have nothing like that down in North Carolina. No, actually, we do. We have a situation with our with our governor, where we had high expectations and high hopes for him. And then once he got into the governorship, he has waffled on some things. So, you know, tragically that happens.
I'll tell you, it's really something. And we do appreciate Senator John Eichelberger. Ladies and gentlemen, I happen to live in his district, and I've voted for him ever since he's been running for anything, I believe. And it is my prayer that one of these days I'll visit him in the White House. Dave, you and I have been working on that for quite some time, haven't we?
You know, we have, but let's start by getting him into the United States Senate. You know, we have pushed that for some time. And, John, I hope you're listening. We need men of integrity. We need men of character. We need men of your caliber in the United States Senate. So, we tease you about it, but we are sure praying that you will seriously consider this at some point. Make it a matter of prayer yourself.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. I appreciate the friendship and the support over the years. You guys are, important to me and do such a great job spreading the gospel and ministering to people all over the world. And I consider you good friends and appreciate all your support. I really do.
Well, it's mutual, and I think this might even be a good time for you to consider running for Congress again. You know, we don't need to dig into that right now, but, hey, I'm going to put my word in for it anyway. I think I've already done that, have I not?
Yeah, I think maybe once before, Gary.
All righty. Sam, I defer back to you, my friend.
All right, Gary. Well, I tell you, glad to be back. And John, I set it up before the break. You're involved in a certain degree of controversy out there that really makes me remember a lot of controversy I had in my district many years ago. But there are some teachers and superintendents that appear to be upset with Senator John Eichelberger because you've brought to attention a practice which has gone on for a long time. Tell us, or tell our listeners about it, because I know that this kind of thing happens in other states where other of our listeners are listening too. So this is not just Pennsylvania. What's the issue there, John?
This is an issue that happens from time to time, but it really doesn't happen that much. Most people honor and respect the rules that they have at their workplace, whether it's private sector or public sector, but public sector employees are held to a different standard because they use taxpayer-funded resources. People have to be very careful with those resources. In this case, what was happening was that we were receiving emails, really on a daily basis, from school teachers and other people that work in school districts, primarily teachers, but some other folks, that my assumption is they were coached by their union, the PSEA, to send emails on to their state senators and state representatives on different issues. They're either for something or against something. They want more money in the budget, whatever the situation is. And we get these during their school day often, not always. We get some in the evening and so on, but we get some during the school day, and we get some on school email accounts. Well, I know that they're not permitted to use public resources to send to do lobbying activity as employees. They're not permitted to do that. So I sent a letter to superintendents in our region, and I sent along printed copies of emails from some of the people that work in their district as a sample. Just I took a few days worth and said these folks had sent an email. I would ask you to investigate it and find out if they broke one of two rules. Either they did it during their instructional or preparation time, their planning time, which they're not supposed to be doing anything there. So, in other words, if I had my phone with me at school and I was a school employee and I was on my lunch break and I wanted to send an email to my state senator, that's fine. They can do that on their own phone using their own private email account. But the other rule that could be broken, so if they did it during instructional or preparation time, that would be against their contract. If they used the school email account or a school computer, then they would be using those resources at school to lobby, and they're not permitted to do that. Even if they were home and they tapped into their school account, they wouldn't be permitted to do that. So the schools took it very seriously. We had response from most of the superintendents. There were a number of people disciplined. I don't know what they did to them. They can't share that with me. I understand that. It's a personnel matter. But they did tell me that they took disciplinary action. So that's what we did. We reported it to the proper authority, and they took care of the issue, and I'm sure advised the remainder of the employees that they are not permitted to do it.
Well, John, I think that's a legitimate thing from my perspective, and I would go further and say my experience was that I actually had local school district teachers on their own time using copiers when I was running for office, who actually copied things that they had produced on the school copiers and sent them home with the kids to their parents. And
wow.
yet even that was a campaign. That was purely political. And yet we found that there was nothing that actually could be done under current law to keep that from happening again. So, John, do you believe in reality, even though you brought this forward, that the law is sufficient to
No.
actually make this not happen, or do we need to change the law?
We should change the law. I agree, and I talked to a labor law specialist that deals with schools from out east, and he explained that very scenario to me, Sam, because they consider that a de minimis activity. If they were using maybe reams of paper, and maybe they were in your case, that would maybe amount to something. But if it's a few dollars worth of products from schools, they don't consider that to be a problem. And you and I know that if that happened in the legislature, they would be terminated for that. And there may even be some criminal penalties for people doing that kind of thing.
Yes, but, there would.
But the schools seem to skirt around that, and the law doesn't pertain to them the same way it does for some of these other public entities. So that should be firmed up. There's no question about it. This is taxpayer-funded resources that people are using, and these people are lobbying very often against the interests of their own communities. We have, I think, that the pension reform issue is something like 74% of people are asking the legislature to change the pension program. And we get emails on a daily basis from school teachers telling us, don't you dare change this pension program. And yep. When they're doing it on school time with school resources, they're at odds with the majority of people in their own school districts.
Yeah, they are. Well, John, well, thanks for bringing this thing up. Keep on. I want to ask one other question before we complete this hour. Another big issue before controversial before the House and the Senate is the governor's action not to follow through with the death penalty on one of the cases before, and I think the House has actually passed a resolution indicting her, or accusing her of that. Where does that sit, and what is the House and Senate collectively doing about effectively the governor violating the law? He is to be the chief law enforcement. I mean, he's the top, if he's not enforcing the law, again, another issue. What's the Senate and the House doing about this issue?
Well, it's in court. The Philadelphia District Attorney filed an action in court. The District Attorneys Association of Pennsylvania joined in an amicus brief, and I can't remember if the House and Senate joined into that suit or not, but there are, I think, other parties included in this suit. So we're doing that, and I know the House did a resolution condemning his action, which was very good. I know the district attorneys have talked to me about it. It's a very big problem for them, because it took something. If he would have just said, I don't want to do it right now, or I want some more information, or I'm going to look at it on a case by case basis, or whatever, and he never even acted on it. But using the word moratorium took the ability for the district attorneys off the table when they're negotiating with people that have committed heinous crimes, that if you push us, we're going to ask for the death penalty. And now they can't say that, because the defendants will say, we don't have a death penalty in Pennsylvania. It's an indefinite moratorium in place. So they're really upset about how this was handled by the governor. He had other ways to do it if he had philosophical differences, and I know he does. But even if he does, he mishandled the situation. He compounded it by taking tools away from the prosecutors in this state.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, everyone.
Yeah, Senator John Eichelberger, thank you very, very much for all that you do on the conservative aspects, the conservative values for us here in Pennsylvania, for your biblical stand, for your stand on the Constitution of Pennsylvania and the United States of America. God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. God bless all of you gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more right after this, so stay tuned. Don't go away.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He sent Paul Revere on his midnight ride to warn Lexington that the British were coming. A Harvard graduate, he was a successful doctor in Boston but left his comfortable career when the British passed the hated Stamp Act. With Samuel Adams, he organized the Provincial Congress to protest. Courageously fighting in the Battle of Bunker Hill, a monument marks the spot where he died. His name was Joseph Warren, born this day, June 11, 1741. Warren stated, "If you perform your part, you must have the strongest confidence that the same almighty being who protected your forefathers will still be mindful of you."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The book of Nehemiah records an amazing story of how Nehemiah accomplished great things against all odds. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though we have great national concerns today, all Israel had even greater concerns. A collapsed nation, a destroyed temple, a sacked capital, walls torn down, city gates burned with fire, the people living as captives in foreign lands. Yet God was mightily at work. First the enemy, King Cyrus himself, said he was moved of the Lord to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and he sanctioned the work. Then God raised up necessary leaders, the elders, priests, Ezra, volunteers, and then Nehemiah. Nehemiah's task? To organize the physical work of laying new foundations, rebuilding broken walls, and all in the face of enormous opposition. But Nehemiah did the work because he could say with confidence, "The good hand of my God is upon me." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, saying, be encouraged. Can you say with Nehemiah that God's good hand is on you? Because that's the key.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, I want to compliment you on doing a fine job there with Senator John Eichelberger. You know, we appreciate conservatives who are in the legislature, and unfortunately, we don't have enough of them. But, you know, John, along with a few others, I think can make a good positive impact down there.
Well, Gary, they can. And just like we've talked about on this program for so much, it does not require a majority of the people to make a tremendous impact anywhere, whether it's regular citizens or those in office. A small number, 10%, just standing together and verbalizing and articulating position of integrity, morality, fear of God, can have a, and does have a tremendous, tremendous ability. And our goal and prayer here in this program is we interface with members of the legislature here in all of our various state chapters across the country with American Pastors Network. We encourage that, and we call it Ministers Together, and we've talked about it some in this program. But when that happens and there is a standing together firmly, it makes a major difference. And just like here with talking to John, it is an amazing thing that what he talked about, for instance, with the state police recommendation by the governor, for the supporters of his and the governor to say, well, it doesn't make any difference that he has, as potential lead commissioner, stole some signs out of somebody's private property.
Amazing.
That's not an issue. He put on a uniform, Gary. Mm-hmm. He put on a Pennsylvania State Police uniform when he was not a state Pennsylvania trooper, and mm-hmm. that would be a major issue for anybody else. But they say that's not an issue, and all the things that John cited. I mean, these are matters of integrity, so that's why it's important that our people need to hear it and to know that wherever they are, individuals good of integrity in the legislature, like John, are the ones that raise that issue and say, "Wait a minute, this is not acceptable." And obviously, this fight's still going on. It's hard to believe that people would actually stand up like a governor and say, "I see no problem with that."
Well, we're back to what many times people have referred to as a culture of corruption in Harrisburg. And, you know, we need to do what we can, and we will do what we can through APN and our influence to see that change not only in Harrisburg but other capitals across this nation. Dave, I want to segue to you here. In the information that you send out on your email list on a regular basis, I guess we could say it's your blog. It's a little bit more than the blog. You have talked about two situations where things have taken place to avoid offending Muslims. One of those situations took place in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, where I lived for nearly 12 years. And then, of course, something else has taken place as it relates to our United States embassies. And I'm just wondering if you would bring our people up to date on these things to show how PC we are in America today, and in my opinion, how serious we are in a very serious condition as it relates to this PC that's taking away our values. Dave?
Well, Gary, yeah, I'll be glad to bring you up to speed on that. Of course, the situation in Lebanon, Pennsylvania involves teachers and administrators and one of the schools there that actually participated in a training day, it was called, whereby they went to a mosque and participated in prayers, conducted conversations with the congregants there at a local mosque, actually took their shoes off, prayed, did a variety of other things that, Gary, if a Christian church invited the same 50 or so legislators in and conducted a training day similar, but from a Christian perspective, there would be public outcry. Gary, it's absolutely unbelievable that we have become so politically correct and so Islamic friendly that things like this are happening. The other situation to which you referred involves the U.S. Embassy in Jakarta, Indonesia, and what the embassy basically did to avoid, quote-unquote, offending Muslim sensibilities They actually celebrated Independence Day, which, of course, every American that knows anything about our history knows that celebrated on July the 4th. They actually celebrated Independence Day at this U.S. Embassy in Jakarta on June the 4th, a month early. Now, the reason for their doing that is this. July 4th, the day that we all as Americans celebrate Independence Day, falls during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. And for those that are unfamiliar with the month of Ramadan, it occurs twice a year on the Muslim calendar, and it moves around. Sometimes it'll be as it is this year in July, other times it'll be November and September, or it'll be November and June, or whatever. It moves around on the calendar. So it just so happened this year it fell during the July 4th celebration. So in order to keep from offending Muslims, the embassy there in Jakarta celebrated the 4th of July a month early. Now, Gary, here's the incredible hypocrisy in all of this. Muslims absolutely have no regard whatsoever for U.S. holidays and when we celebrate certain things, and so they would do nothing, you know, to accommodate American sensibilities and American patriotism and those kind of things, and yet we are tying ourselves into pretzels in order to accommodate these Muslim events and these Muslim holidays and holy days and so on. And Gary, it's just absolutely unbelievable that we're doing it. I mean, we have literally granted Islam favored status in the United States of America. And again, we have relegated Christianity to second place, at least, if not lower status.
So how should we respond to that, Brother Dave? I mean, you know, I agree with you. We have elevated Islam to a very, very high status in this nation. When we see something like this taking place as Christians, should we just sit back and let it happen? How do we respond to this in the proper way?
Well, I think the book of Daniel is our model. You know, there is a situation in Daniel chapter 1 where Daniel made an appropriate appeal, and I think we need to make an appropriate appeal and state, you know, what we believe to be accurate as Christians relative to this. And Gary, here, speaking of the situation in Jakarta, here's what could have been done. And this is what I would encourage our listening audience to consider doing, and that is write your congressman, write your senator, and say, look, we are asking that in all future situations where something like this happens, let's celebrate 4th of July at our embassies on the 4th of July. For example, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan calls for fasting from sunup to sundown. So, Gary, after sundown, there could have been an appropriate celebration on July 4th with fireworks and so on of our Independence Day without it being even in conflict with Muslim sensibilities. But yet what we are doing as a nation, Gary, and I believe there's a reason why we're doing it, our administration is very Islamic-friendly, we are just throwing the baby out with the bathwater and going way beyond the pale to accommodate these Islamic, quote-unquote, sensibilities. It just needs to stop. It's un-American at the least.
Well, it is. And in your blog, you say that you wouldn't be surprised if they would start observing Good Friday on a Tuesday. Doesn't surprise me. Quickly, Dave, you put out a great blog. How can people get on that information?
Well, Gary, if they're interested in receiving it, they could just email me at Dave Kistler, K-I-S-T-L-E-R, Dave Kistler at HopeMinistriesOnline.com. Dave Kistler at HopeMinistriesOnline.com. Let me know they'd like to receive this. Be glad to send it to you.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow. Have a great day, the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.